Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic faces no immediate terror threat, the Prime Minister has said. The country's industrial output grew by nearly 13% in August, exceeding expectations. And one of Social Democrat ballot leaders in Prague will quit party positions over tax evasion on party donations. The Czech Republic faces no immediate terror threat, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said after Thursday's meeting of the government's intelligence council. Mr. Nečas said the preventive measures adopted after a recent warning issued by the US authorities were sufficient. After Washington warned European countries on Sunday of an increased risk of terrorist attacks, the Czech government heightened security checks at Prague's Ruzyně Airport and other international airports in the country. The authorities have also reinforced protection of government buildings, embassies and other sensitive institutions. The Czech Republic's industrial output grew by 12.9% in August year-on-year, according to government figures released on Thursday. Compared to July, industrial output grew by 5.3%. Analysts say August growth exceeded expectations due to revived demand from abroad in the automotive, metalworking and electronics sectors. The volume of new orders climbed by over 22% year-on-year, while orders from abroad rose by more than 20%. In related news, the country's foreign trade surplus in August dropped to 0.5 billion crowns. Exports increased by 23%, while imports by just over 30%. One of the Social Democrat ballot leaders in Prague, Miroslav Poš, will quit all party positions over tax evasion on his donation to the party. The Daily Hospodarské Noviny reported on Thursday that Mr. Poš, who is the deputy chair of the Prague Social Democrats, donated 300,000 crowns to the party, but split the sum to avoid taxation. The head of the Social Democrats in Prague, Petr Hulinský, said Mr. Poš breached party principles and will have to step down. Social Democrat leaders are yet to decide whether he will be allowed to remain on the ballot for the upcoming local elections. Prague City Gallery workers on Thursday began preparing the controversial relocation of the Slav Epic, a series of 20 large canvases by the Art Nouveau painter Alfons Mucha from the town of Moravský Krumlov to the capital, where it should be featured in a new exhibition. Several dozen people protested the move. The preparations should take about 3 weeks. After that, the Slav Epic should be relocated to the capital. Alfons Mucha bestowed the Slav Epic to the city of Prague on condition it would build a special pavilion for it. That has never happened, and the cycle has been on display in Moravský Krumlov for nearly 50 years. When Prague City Hall requested the return of the paintings earlier this year, Moravský Krumlov blocked the move. However, a local court cancelled the restraining order in September. The governor of the South Moravian region appealed on Thursday to Prague authorities to stop the relocation. And now a brief look at the weather. The end of the week will be overcast with occasional rain and fog. Daytime highs should range between 11 and 16 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Coming up on today's show, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Karel Schwarzenberg, has met with his American counterpart, Hillary Clinton, on an official trip to the United States. The Czech government has asked four ministries to produce an effective long-term strategy for combating Alzheimer's disease. And is the coldest winter in 1,000 years looming in the air? We'll ask a leading Czech meteorologist. I hope you'll stay with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Karel Schwarzenberg, is wrapping up a brief but official visit to the United States, where he met with his American counterpart, Hillary Clinton. Czech Radio's U.S. correspondent Vít Bohanka is in Washington and spoke with both officials before and after the meeting.
This was not really a meeting where we expected any kind of announcement of some major bilateral initiative. This was a standard meeting to keep the mutual dialogue going. you know, after such big issues as was the visa requirement for Czech citizens traveling to the U.S. was dropped nearly 2 years ago, and of course, after Obama administration dropped the plan to build anti-missile radar in the Czech Republic last year.
So it sounds like this was more of a formality rather than a substantive meeting.
I would say it was a working meeting. I mean, it didn't seem to be just a formality, but it was a working, standard working meeting between two ministers of foreign affairs of two countries.
Well, Karl Schwarzenberg himself notified the Czech press that he wanted to talk about a range of issues, the U.S. vision for relations with NATO and Russia, export of Czech combat jets, Czech troops in Afghanistan, which was a key topic because it was passed by the government today, the ambassador. So at what points did they actually get to?
Minister Schwarzenberg, I mean, you actually, you know, spelled out the whole long list, and Minister Schwarzenberg just confirmed that he did mention all of the things that you mentioned. You are absolutely right that the Czech government agreed to send more troops to Afghanistan. Karel Schwarzenberg mentioned that, and he told us afterwards that Hillary Clinton expressed gratitude towards the Czech Republic, which I suppose is to be expected, but, you know, it certainly helps with the bilateral relations between the Czech Republic, especially at this time when the Americans are trying to get all the allies in NATO to strengthen their military presence in Afghanistan. So that was definitely a factor, I think, that helped Karel Schwarzenberg to make his points that he wanted to make.
What would you say, from your standpoint, about their personal history and from what you saw, how do they seem to get along together?
They do seem to get along really well, and I think it goes beyond the kind of usual diplomatic niceties, because they've known each other since the 90s when Hillary Clinton came to Prague with Bill Clinton, then president, and she came as a first lady. And then I think I know that they met personally when Karel Schwarzenberg came to the U.S. with President Havel in the 90s as a chancellor. So there really seems to be genuine good chemistry between the two of them. That it definitely looked like that.
The Czech Republic has been very interested in getting some American think tanks into the country, and Minister Schwarzenberg spent part of his time in the States visiting some of these think tanks. Do you have any indication of how his discussions with them went?
Yeah, not only from Karel Schwarzenberg, but also from the Czech diplomats who have been working on it for some time here, because it's obviously a longer process. But yes, I mean, specifically Aspen Institute is interested in having presence in the Czech Republic. But as Karel Schwarzenberg says, you know, it's now on the Czech side to provide a building, you know, to house the institute. Because as he says, you know, the 90s, when we could expect kind of gifts from the Americans and some sponsorship, I mean, those times are gone. So it seems to be going quite well ahead, but it will probably still take some time. You know, there's a lot of organizational work connected with that.
And lastly, a rather scandalous revelation occurred on Wednesday when Czech television reported that some State Department official had said the U.S. radar base that was planned to be built in the Czech Republic and debated for years was actually only intended for protecting the United States rather than having anything to do with the protection of Europe. Could you expand on this in any way, or do you have any insight into this?
Yeah, I know where the information comes from. We were actually briefed by quite a senior Department of State official before the meeting, and we were told this information. But I should say that it's quite early to say much more about it, because we didn't really have the time to confirm it from some other sources. So right now, yes, I mean, it is really surprising, because we were told something completely different than what we had been told by the previous administration. And that is that the missile shield was never intended to cover Europe. Nevertheless, it's just one State Department official who told us that, and we didn't really have the time to confirm it from some other independent sources.
That was Czech Radio's correspondent in the United States, Vít Pohanka. At present, there are around 120,000 people with Alzheimer's disease in the Czech Republic. Health experts say that they expect that number to quadruple in the next 40 years as the average life expectancy grows and the population ages, making it a serious social and health problem. This week, the government asked four Czech ministries to produce a comprehensive long-term strategy aimed at making life easier both for Alzheimer's sufferers and their families. Daniela Lazarova has more.
Alzheimer's disease is the most common cause of dementia among older people, an irreversible progressive brain disease. It slowly destroys memory and thinking skills, and eventually even the ability to carry out the simplest daily tasks, leaving sufferers totally dependent on others. Statistics suggest that it affects 10% of people between the age of 80 and 85, and 30% of people 10 years older. Social Affairs Minister Jaromír Drábek said this is something society must prepare to deal with.
Alzheimer's disease is not something people are widely acquainted with at present. But in the coming years and decades, it will be a phenomenon we will be hearing more of, and more people will be touched by it. Therefore, the government has asked the Ministries of Health, Social Affairs, Education, and Justice to produce a comprehensive long-term strategy, which would help both sufferers and caregivers, of whom we are told 80% suffer from depression.
The government's so-called Plan Alzheimer is to assess the current situation, including available healthcare, both in terms of diagnostics, treatment and nursing homes, the social network in place to help relatives and caregivers, and the legal aspects involved in getting someone close to the sufferer to represent them when they're no longer able to manage their own affairs. Iva Holmerová, head of the Czech Alzheimer Society, says help is sorely needed and more money for research could go a long way.
Alzheimer's disease is, as you know, incurable, but its progress can be slowed down, and that is why it is important to put more money into research. It has been ascertained that damage to the brain begins as many as 10 to 20 years before any problems are evident, and if hypothetically we could delay the first symptoms for a period of 5 years, the number of sufferers would be halved. Currently, Alzheimer's researchers in the Czech Republic get a mere 5% of the money allotted to cardiovascular diseases or cancer research, that is 20 times less.
Alzheimer societies around the world are calling for action. Alzheimer Disease International recently urged the WHO to make dementia a world priority, saying that it poses the most significant health and social crisis of the century. Campaigners argue that any money spent now will be saved in the future by decreasing the disease burden.
Many thanks to Daniela Lazarová. If you're just tuning in, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, broadcasting around the world over shortwave, via satellite, and on the internet. I'm Christian Falvey. In recent days, Italian and Polish forecasters have released reports suggesting that this winter could be the coldest Europe has seen in the last 1,000 years. The change is reportedly connected with the speed of the Gulf Stream, which has allegedly slowed down in connection with the oil spill off the coast of Florida. Some scientists claim the stream will not be able to compensate the cold from Arctic winds, and according to their theory, as the Gulf Stream wanes and eventually disappears, Europe will see progressively colder winters. Czech meteorologist Jan Pretel says this is utter nonsense.
I'm completely convinced that such information doesn't have any scientific background. The Gulf Stream is only a small part, relatively small part of the worldwide thermohaline circulation, and looking just on the Atlantic Ocean, that is only relatively very small, I would say, the river in the ocean. Yeah, because the width of the Gulf Stream is in average about 100 kilometers, but the width of Atlantic Ocean is something in between 7 and 4 thousands of kilometers. That is only the river. Yeah, the weather in the winter over the Europe, yeah, it's influenced by about one half by the release of the heat, during the winter, because during the summer, ocean absorb the heat, yeah, and by about 50% through the wind flow over the this latitudes in the Atlantic, over the Atlantic Ocean. And as the Gulf Stream, it's only small part of the huge Atlantic Ocean, I am completely convinced that the winter in the Europe couldn't be affected only by the Gulf Stream.
Which means that basically you can rule out a very, very cold winter at this point.
Yeah, I think that the chance that we will have in Europe this year very heavy winter, or very strong winter, cold winter, it's about 50%. And also there is a chance of the 50% that we will have over the Europe extremely mild winter. I'm convinced that at this time, I mean on the beginning of October, that is completely impossible to get a serious and scientifically based forecast for this winter, because the meteorologists are able to give a very good forecast for 3 days, say the good forecast for 5 days, a reasonable forecast for 2 weeks, or something like that, but we don't have any instrument to get a forecast for the winter in October, speaking on the winter, the weather, or during the January and February, for example.
That was meteorologist Jan Pretel ending that report. And now for a wide-angle look at the Czech Republic with Panorama. In this edition, Ian Willoughby asks how shopping trends have evolved since 1989.
Over the last 20 years, Czechs have embraced consumer culture in a big way, with a great number of shopping centres, both city centre and out of town, now dotted around the country. To discuss how the experience of shopping has been transformed, and how range and price now compare to other countries, I met up with former Elle editor Jana Cíglerová at Prague's Palladium Shopping Centre, a short walk from Wenceslas Square.
The change has been significant. It's not only in the luxurious market, but also in the mass market. Now we basically have pretty much all the main brands that you would know from the rest of the world or from Britain, for example. The change is, it's pretty much global now.
And if we go back fully 20 years to when the revolution happened, were there many or any shopping centres here back in 1989?
See, that's even hard to imagine today, but there were only three big, not even shopping centres, only department stores, one department store. And there were only three of them where people would get most of their shoppings. Whereas now you have a shopping centre pretty much everywhere, on definitely several shopping centres in each Prague quarter.
Czechs seem to have really embraced shopping and shopping culture. Why do you think it is that's cotton on so much here?
The abundance, you know, something now you can have that, before you couldn't. I remember the first times we went abroad, I think Austria was the first, or Germany was the first, were the first foreign countries. You just could not believe what all was in stores. You could not believe that there was vegetables, and you could choose colors of your trousers or your sweaters. You know, here you in Czechoslovakia back then, you would always have only one kind of cloth and everybody would have to wear. It's something I cannot even explain you today, because for me it's hard to imagine that it was the case. So I think it's the idea that we can, you know, that you can choose, you can also afford it, which wasn't the case 10 years ago, maybe. So the overall economic situation of everyday Czech people has increased, that's what I would say.
I remember somebody telling me with confidence that it was 1997 that Czech women started dressing well. I think they meant dressing like Westerners. When do you think that the Czechs kind of caught up with the West in this respect?
I don't think it was 97. I don't think we have even caught up with the rest of the West yet. I think maybe recently, 4 years back, 3 years back, the difference is not as significant, but still, I'm sitting in a cafe and I could tell you exactly who is Czech, who is a Czech woman and who's not a Czech woman. There's still something about us, and not only women, I think the situation with men is even worse, that is just not there yet.
And what are the things that differentiate, say, a Czech woman from a Western woman? I know, for example, in the early 90s, it was shoes that people used to differentiate between Czechs and foreigners.
It's not only shoes, even though shoes still stay the one of the criteriums. It's also haircut, hair color. I mean, look at the woman sitting next to us. It's just, you would not see a Western woman with red hair and those kind of shades. It's just not not tasteful. And the sizes of clothes. A man wear jackets or suits that are one size too big, and women were very much like to wear T-shirts that are two sizes too small. So you could see their bellies. Again, the woman sitting next to us, the T-shirt is copying her, what you call it, fat? Yeah. It's just not something that a Western woman would wear, unless it's a very low income position Western woman. But this is a majority woman. And it's also the cuts of the materials, which means the price of the clothes, but also the cuts of the trousers, mostly jeans. You can see that it's not well cut, you know. So that would be the main differences.
When you walk around the center of Prague today, you see a lot of the same chains that you would see, say, in, I don't know, Madrid or Copenhagen. Do you think in any way the Czechs have lost something by becoming so uniform in terms of the high street here?
See, I've lost a lot because I travel a lot and I would not shop here, and that's one of the things that many Czechs do of my generation or of my kind of sort of income people. So anytime I went abroad, I would buy something there that nobody had here. Whereas now I go to Vienna, I go to Paris, I go to London, and I have to go and look after the small shops that are not the big chains that I would have here on any Prague street.
So basically it's more work for you.
Yes, yes.
I remember in the mid-90s, it often seemed to me that some foreign chains were kind of dumping their previous year's collections here at a high price. Did that happen, and does it still happen?
That was a big problem, and I think one of the biggest problems were why Pařížská Street, which is the most luxurious street in Prague, where you have all the Louis Vuitton and Dior stores, has been struggling for some time because you would go to one of these stores and you would find the collections of the past season there, and you had the feeling, okay, so they're trying to trick me. They think I'm Eastern European or I'm from Prague, I'm from Czech Republic, so I don't know, and I would never go to that store again. And plus, it was way more expensive than in original stores in Paris or London. So what many people with that kind of income ended up doing was they went shopping abroad. It was just better to go shopping in Paris or London or Madrid because you had the guarantee that A, you could choose, you had much better choice, and B, you knew the collections were up to date.
Generally speaking, how would you say prices today compare between the Czech Republic and Western countries?
For some reason, I don't understand why, but it's still a little bit more expensive here than in New York or in London. And that is another reason why people who can afford that kind of luxury brands, they go abroad and they go shopping there. You buy things that nobody else has here, plus you have good price or better price than here. And it used to be more expensive than it is now. I think also the crown has gotten stronger, so that makes the other currencies a little more available for us.
What about service? What's the standard like now, and has it changed much over the last 20 years?
It's better now, that's for sure, but it's still nothing comparable to British stores, French stores. I don't know, because I don't speak French, so I don't understand them if they try to talk to me. But definitely, I just came back from New York, and there everybody kind of talks to you. They ask you about your day. They start a conversation with you. Whereas here, it's hard for them to even tell you hi sometimes. And when you are the one who says hi first, then okay, they can very unwillingly, reluctantly answer you hello, but that's it. That is a change in mind that still has to come for us.
That was fashion journalist Jana Ciglerova, ending that edition of Panorama, first broadcast in November of last year. And that brings us to the end of Radio Prague's English broadcast for today. If you'd like to hear that program again or search through our archives of news and features, look for us online at www.radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we're always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or of course by snail mail to Vinohradska 12 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, and all of us here at Radio Prague, we thank you for listening and we wish you the best.